98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
You heard what Mr. Big Boy says. That's what happened. You're updated when Maloney speaks.
We're only just a couple days away from Cardinals-Panthers. So, Ron Rivera, can you give us an update on Cam Newton?
Nope.
Thank you for your honesty.
You'll get it on the report, okay?
Well, we got a report, all right. Everything's coming out. Cam Newton didn't practice today, and it looks like it's unlikely the Panthers QB will play on Sunday. Your reaction?
I think you're totally right in breaking speculation that he doesn't play. When you miss a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday practice, and if you just tuned in, that's what they have simulated for Tuesday through Thursday. You rarely play. You combine that with the fact that Cam Newton's 0-8 in his last eight starts, and he looks like a shell of himself. How in the world would you play him? I think the scarves are just too heavy for that foot.
You know, honestly, right now, this tells me I think Kyle Allen is going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers. I have no inside information whatsoever based on Ian's right. Obviously, it's just pure speculation, but I think he's going to be the starter. And if, in fact, that is the case, that tells me the Cardinals need to double down on stopping the run, because the Carolina Panthers, I believe, are going to double down on running the football and doing it in an aggressive way. And if, in fact, they are going to run the football, the personnel group that they use to run the most is 21 personnel. Two backs, one tight end, two wide receivers. 21 personnel. They run 44% of the time out of that. That's the most of any personnel group they use, North Turner.
So if they do get Kyle Allen, which is Kyler Murray's old college teammate, how does K1 feel about it?
I really don't care. If he starts, that is my answer to that one. I don't care.
Doesn't that answer sound like there's a little bit of history there and he kind of cares a little bit?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he is the type of – listen, if it was a lot of other people, I would say absolutely.
Yeah.
But Kyler Murray, I've never had a beer with the young man.
He doesn't like beer.
I know, I've heard that, which is a problem we have to talk about. But Kyler has the type of personality that says, does something on the other team's offense affect me? No. So why should I worry about it? I truly think that's what he means.
I will tell you this right now. There is some history there with Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray. There's no doubt about it. I mean, yeah, do I know that as a fact? Heck no. But I can tell you right now, you have two quarterbacks that are competing to be the starting quarterback, and there's going to be a little bit of history right there.
I think he blames Kevin Sumlin for the history more than he blames Kyle Allen.
I'm just guessing on that, Basinonians, but I'll tell you, I believe there's some type of history there with Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray, no doubt about it. Having said that right there, I don't think it matters to Kyler Murray. I don't. I think he's playing not against Kyle Allen, but against the Carolina Panthers defense. That's what he cares about.
So early this morning, 2:43 a.m. to be exact, ESPN's Adam Schefter broke some Cardinals news.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility.
He then added that the Cardinals don't believe they'll trade for Jalen Ramsey, but they did speak with the Jaguars. Would you want Ramsey here in the Valley?
I always go with the at what cost. At what cost? Because you are signing a diva, and I believe totally in signing divas when you're one player away from a Super Bowl. I don't think the Cardinals are one player away from a Super Bowl, and I don't like the idea of a diva coming in with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach.
I'm definitely not trading Patrick Peterson for Jalen Ramsey. That was something that people were speculating about, right? Oh, because they both had a year and a half left on their contract right there. The possibility, oh, Patrick Peterson's been unhappy in the past and wanted to trade. How easy it would be to trade one guy for another. I don't agree with that. I would not be down with that. Pat P, to me, is not Jalen Ramsey in regard to how Jalen Ramsey acts and the diva that he is.
So then if it's not Ramsey, where do you think they'll spend that money?
You asked what do I think? I don't think Jalen Ramsey fits. Where do I think they're going to spend the money is a separate question. I think they're going to spend it on Jalen Ramsey.
So you think the Cardinals are going to...
I think the Cardinals are going to try to trade for Jalen Ramsey. I totally believe that. I just think they're in a race with the Chiefs. And I think Jacksonville thinks one of them is going to meet the price. That's why the Cardinals said, we don't think we're going to get him. I think they're telling Jacksonville that's too high of a price. And Jacksonville's trying to say, hey, Kansas City wants him, so you better do it.
Where there's smoke, there does appear to be some fire. I can't disagree.
Yesterday, we got the news that Ketel Marte has lower back inflammation, and the NL All-Stars seemed to initially indicate that the artificial turf at Chase Field may have an effect on his body.
Something that has been bothering me for the past 2 months, the artificial turf took a toll on me. You know, I've just been dealing with it for the past couple of months.
Doug, I know you've been wanting to talk about this all day.
First of all, there's no way to know whether that's true. But if a player believes it, this is a huge story because it dramatically affects free agency. One of the great calling cards for this organization is it's a great organization and you get to live at home during spring training. Nobody gets to really offer that to the level that the Diamondbacks do. Yet if one player thinks the turf has cost them games or cost them their back, that is a horrible situation. The one thing I would say if I'm the Diamondbacks, you've been playing pretty well. So it hasn't affected that much.
It's incredible to me. It really is because, first of all, Ketel Marte is not an old man, is he? He's not. This is a young guy. And to be complaining about the turf and how it's impacting his back, it just sounds old. That's number one right there, right? And not only that, too, but Ketel Marte, it's not like he's out in center field every game. He's not. You put those two things together right there, it's a little disconcerting, frankly.
So we just got a tweet
from
The Doug and Wolf Show from Drew Hollenbach. He said, my father-in-law's wife spoke to Kyle Allen's girlfriend's mom, and she said Kyle will be the starter Sunday.
You know what? Now I know why you paused.
I told
Maloney.
That's my favorite story of all time. Drew, I don't care if it's real. I don't care if you're a fraud or this is exactly what's going to happen. But that is the greatest link. I mean, my dad's former college roommate, if my Schwartz is bigger than yours, for Drew to go with my father-in-law's wife spoke to Kyle Allen's girlfriend's mom, and she said Kyle will be the starter Sunday. That's fantastic.
Oh, the wicked web we weave.
I love that. Anytime your source needs three apostrophe S's to get there, that's money right there. That is money. Coming up next.
Let's take that and run with it.
It's not official that Kyle's starting. It is official that Cam is not doing something. We'll tell you what he's not doing next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Officially, this is still the latest we know on Cam Newton.
Can you give us an update on your quarterback situation?
Nope.
That's the latest from the Carolina Panthers. However, Cam Newton did not practice again today, and I hope this makes sense. If you're a hardcore football guy, you know this. But it'll sound weird to say Tuesday is Wednesday, Wednesday is Thursday, Thursday is Friday.
Yes.
But that is the Carolina game plan.
Interesting.
And what that means is in normal practice of sticking to the same agenda every week, players might have a victory Monday. Most teams do it. You win on Sunday, you get Monday off. Not everybody does it. Patriots don't do it. If you lose on Monday, you go in for film study and treatment. Excuse me, if you lose on Sunday, you go in for film study, treatment, stuff like that on Monday. It's mandated by the CBA you get one day off a week. Players cannot be expected to come in one day each week.
Yep.
Well, it's just the way it is that it's always Tuesday. It's not in the CBA you have to have Tuesday off. It's just in the CBA you get one day a week off.
Correct.
And almost every team says, okay, we'll take Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, hardcore practice days. Friday, last-minute touch-ups, what? A lot of goal-line stuff.
Situational stuff.
So you have that, and then Saturday, a little walkthrough, get on the plane and go.
Yep.
Well, Carolina did it completely differently this week. Since they played on Thursday night, they did their film study and work and everything on a Friday, like you would Monday.
Yep.
Their Tuesday was all Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
And Tuesday.
They gave them 3 days off, and then they did their heavy work day Wednesday for Tuesday. They did their heavy work day of Thursday, yesterday.
Yes.
So now Friday is, like you said, there's situational stuff. Cam Newton didn't practice in any of those days. And now they leave tomorrow for Arizona. Normally you leave on Saturday.
No.
So with everything pushed back a day for extra preparation, Cam Newton's missed all of it. Rarely does a player play when you miss all of it.
Especially when you have an old school guy like Ron Rivera.
That's true too,
being
yeah.
your head coach, right? I mean, you've got to practice if you're going to play. I cannot tell you, back in the day, back when I was playing, I can't stand saying that, but it's the truth, Basinonians. I can tell you right now, if you missed one day, whether it was Wednesday or Thursday, if you missed one of those days, you weren't going to play for the most part. That's what it came down to. They were sticklers when it came to that, right? You have to practice all week long if, in fact, you're going to play. It's not like that anymore. It is not, Basinonians. It is completely different, as a matter of fact, and I get it, rightfully so. Hey, listen, if Cam Newton could go out there, Cam Newton, thank you. Thank you, Buddy Nix.
Well done,
Cam
man.
Newton could actually go out there one day, one of those 3 days, I can guarantee you right now, he'd be playing if he could. I don't think he's going to play. You tell me he did not practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't think he's going to play. Now, again, I don't know. Ron Rivera, maybe for all we know, oh, you know what? I don't care. We're going to play Cam Newton because he was good to go on Friday. That being tomorrow. We don't know the situation. But I think right now, Kyle Allen, especially when you listen to Drew Hollenbeck, Drew Hollenbeck, the guy that tweeted us and let us know that Kyle Allen is indeed going to be the starter. Who is this dude?
Drew Hollenbeck, he says, I read tweets when it's convenient. That's who he is. He's a U of A fan from Scottsdale. Feel free to blast him and not trust him. But Drew sent us the greatest tweet in the history of the Doug and Wolf
this
Show.
This is great right here.
My father-in-law's wife spoke to Kyle Allen's girlfriend's mom. And she said, Kyle will be the starter on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
And he smelled of Eldebaddies.
No, you can't combine
What's
it.
That make us?
Absolutely nothing. You just compared great cinema and humor of Spaceballs to just...
Stop it. Don't even get started on that, all right? I mean, you're embarrassing yourself.
America needs
to
wake up.
Your children and your
family.
It's
really... Monty Python really is
Monty
not that
Python
funny.
Is hysterical.
It's nowhere near Airplane.
Douglas, honestly,
it's not Airplane.
Think your kids. You're saying
Airplane.
This on the air. Live on the air, Douglas just embarrassed himself, his family, and his children.
It's not really that funny.
Look, we all know your father smelled of Eldebaddies.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of Eldebaddies.
just think how damning that was back in that day, the medieval period. Your father smelt of Eldebaddies. What was he doing with the Eldebaddies? Yes, he was staying up late on the weekends. Hanging around people that enjoyed elderberries. That's what he was doing.
Bear just turned around to explain to the interns what Spaceballs is and what Monty Python
okay,
is.
Okay, where are we going, though? What were we talking about? Oh, Kyle Allen and whether or not Kyle Allen was actually going to be the starter for the Carolina Panthers. The fact that Kyler Murray doesn't care if he's the starter. I totally believe Kyler Murray. I don't think there's no hidden agenda there. I totally believe, hey, listen, you know what? I don't play against the quarterback. I don't. I don't play whether it's Cam Newton, or it's Kyle Allen. I don't play against the quarterback. I play against the Carolina Panthers defense. So it really doesn't impact me at all. I think he's 100% sincere when he's saying this.
It's kind of funny. It's two quotes in one, and you have to understand why. I have to give you background so you understand why he said, no, I'm being serious this time. When asked about Kyle Allen, just the guy, and what does he know?
We know about Kyle Allen if he potentially starts this week.
I really don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
What a great answer.
Yeah, we went to school together. We played together. So, I don't really have control over who starts over there. You know, that's their deal. I just got to get ready to play, and, you know, whoever is their quarterback is their quarterback.
So the first time he says, I don't care about whether I know anything about him, and then you realize, wow, we don't even know the guy well enough to know when he's joking, and that's why he shocks everyone. But then he uses the same answer legitimately and has to explain, yes, I'm being legitimate this time, in which he was asked, what will it be like if you're the starting quarterback against Kyle Allen for the first time in your career, the two of you on the same field competing against each other when you're not on the same team?
I really don't care. If he starts, that is my answer to that one. I don't care.
And I believe him 100%.
I really do.
Honestly, he's playing against the Carolina Panthers and their defense. He's playing against Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly, it's incredible. If you listen to Drew Brees talk about Luke Kuechly and the way that Luke Kuechly literally fights during the pre-snap reads with the quarterback, checking defenses as a quarterback would check plays and protections.
You've been talking a lot about how shocking it is that Kyler Murray knows the offense as a rookie quarterback better than anybody else. I have heard players say that if they have a young quarterback, they truly believe Luke Kuechly knows the offense better than their own young quarterback.
Yes.
He studies that hard about what you try to do.
It's incredible to watch Luke Kuechly go out there and play. It really is. I was talking about this yesterday, right? Just watching him check out and the freak that he truly is and watching him play on tape. 17 tackles last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 17. He's already got 25 through two games, right? But 17 tackles, and just the way that he gets everyone else lined up, the guy is still absolutely nails. The best Mike backer in the game, along with Bobby Wagner. Those two, pick them. Either one of them. The best in the game.
Just got a tweet from Justin, and Justin, that your tweet's awful. Just awful. And the reason why it's just awful, I got to tell you, for some reason in this building, people that listen to the Doug and Wolf show and the Burns and Gambo show somehow think one of us do each show. Like, the amount of people that get Burnsy and I confused on things that we've said is
really
unprecedented.
Okay.
But never in the history of the show has somebody got us confused. Doug and Wolf confused.
Right, okay.
As Justin tweeted out, Doug just let me down by thinking Monty Python is better than Spaceballs. No, it's the reverse. I am the man of fact, truth, and I am the one telling you Spaceballs is by far better. I get it. Now, Spaceballs is an airplane. It's Wolf that actually is saying that, Justin.
No, it's embarrassing. It really is. I mean, Monty Python, we all know. I mean, the humor is off the charts. Funny.
Yeah, it didn't make the chart. That's why it's off it. Coming up next, what would it take for the Cardinals to get Jalen Ramsey? And are they willing to pay that price?
That was not funny, Bear.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of
antibodies.
Are you talking to me? Hollenbeck!
No way!
Andrew! Ray! Smith! Your father-in-law's wife! Ray! Smith! Finding out about Kyle Allen, the fact he'll be the starter! Father-in-law's wife and girlfriend's mom. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com.
That's so good, isn't it?
Find what you're looking for today.
I am your father's, brother's, nephew's, cousin's former roommate.
I thought for sure that Wolf was going to call out Dan Marley. I'll tell you why some other time. We're in kind of a hurry today.
Right.
We've got Derek Hall coming up in 15 minutes, and we can't wait to talk to him when you actually have a player on the team saying that, well, the turf is what's taking a toll on
me. Been something that has been bothering me for the past 2 months. The artificial turf took a toll on me.
So with that, like, Derek, what happened there?
Yeah, well, Adam Jones made a similar comment a few months ago. Interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Derek Hall about the turf. And then Michael Vick going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock this morning right after Derek Hall. So we'll have Michael on Murray, so we can't wait to have that conversation. But everything kind of changed this morning when, before the show, Adam Schefter let it be known.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility. Some people wondering, does this mean they're in on Jalen Ramsey? They have contacted Jacksonville, but the Cardinals don't believe that they're a landing spot for Jalen Ramsey. There has been contact made. They do have additional room now that Chandler Jones has restructured that deal. And if they don't spend the money there, we'll see where they do spend it.
Well, how often do you have a chance to add a top 20 talent in the NFL?
Mm.
And that's what Jalen Ramsey is. When you last year, or it was 2 years ago, when the Cardinals played the Jags and Calais was coming home, and the guy everyone was talking about in the locker room was Jalen Ramsey. And the respect Fitz had, the reverence for his game as a young guy already, the skill set. So if things have gone sideways, and obviously they have, and you have a chance to get him, and then you think about it, hit zoom out. If this is a 2 or 3 year rebuilding process, and you're looking at the Cardinals' defense, what is it predicated on? That attacking 3-4 really relies on those two corners having the ability to play on an island, to go press man, one-on-one, travel receivers, and then you dial up the other nine guys. What if you had Patrick Peterson and Jalen Ramsey with Byron Murphy in the slot, and then in a year and a half with Pat's contract is up, if he's no longer an Arizona Cardinal, boom, it's Jalen Ramsey and Byron Murphy, two guys in their 20s.
The question comes down to this, Paulie, as far as I'm concerned. Is he really a diva? Is he a diva? Okay, because honestly, I know that I'm old. I know that I'm old school, but I don't care. I'm just telling you right now, if he's a diva, I don't want him.
The one thing, and I don't know this, and I have a lot of work to do because this has all come out today, and I'm trying to get a couple answers, is the Ramsey contract. For what I understand with contracts, think about he was in the Robert Kimdichie draft. And remember, we were going to come in next year into Robert Kimdichie's fifth year.
Yeah.
So that means, if I'm right in this thinking, that Jalen Ramsey next year would be on his fifth-year option. And that's around
– yes.
Your fifth-year option is around somewhere between $12 and $14 million. Okay? That's the cap hit for next year, which the Cardinals can't handle. For Jalen Ramsey. So the next piece of this puzzle, which is a major, major piece, who will report the Cardinals have talked to his agent? Who will report that Jacksonville has given permission to the agent? Because you're not going to, I don't think you're going to trade anything for Jalen Ramsey if you've got to pay him 1 year, $13 million next year. You're going to want to make sure you have a contract extension done, unless you're the Chiefs. The Chiefs would say, you know what,
yeah,
we'll do it because we're all in on trying to win a Super Bowl right now.
Sure.
And if it doesn't work, we'll just get rid of him. To Paul's point, if you're the Cardinals, you can't bring Jalen Ramsey into a rebuilding franchise unless, A, you've restructured his contract for a longer term, and B, you're making sure he's not going to turn into an Antonio Brown after you sign him to a long-term deal.
Two things.
There's a lot to work through here.
There is, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I thought with all that dead money coming off the cap next year, the Cardinals had considerable cap room.
Yeah.
So
no, they did.
They could
do.
Fit it, but I don't think you would. I don't think you would pay him. And again, these are base numbers that I don't know if I'm right on. $12 to $14 million next year, and try to fit everybody else and Fitz and everything else you'd want to do.
You know who's up against the cap, and thank goodness they are, the Seattle Seahawks. Because there's been a lot of mentions out there about what a good fit Jalen Ramsey would be and try and recreate the Legion of Boom in Seattle, and how John Schneider and Pete Carroll, Coach Double Rainbow, would love to have a Jalen Ramsey to reinvent and reignite that secondary in Seattle. That's my big fear.
Just so long you're not going to play cover three, because that's what he doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to play zone.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play zone.
That's right, exactly. Now, they also played an awful lot of man, right? Man free. They also played Robert with a free safety in the middle of the field, of course. Man across the board, and then brought a safety down looking for any type of crossing route. That's what the Seattle Seahawks love to run. So if they went more man, I could see that, Paulie. But
especially without Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor.
Exactly,
that's what
right.
They used to run with those guys a lot. You know?
This is really, really interesting stuff right now, right? Because you could build a compelling case that Jalen Ramsey is being considered right now by the Arizona Cardinals. You could build a compelling case. It's pure speculation. There's no doubt about it. But listen to Adam Schefter.
You wouldn't have called if
you're
not
interested. And what Schefter just said, and it's from the Cardinals' perspective. Adam Schefter just said, basically, the Arizona Cardinals have called the Jaguars. I wonder what they're calling him for. What are they calling the Jaguars? Hey, we just wanted to see what Calais was doing. Is Calais good? How's he doing? Could you say hello to him?
Well, the other question for Jacksonville, which I think someone has to answer, why is it Gardner Minshew the second when there's not a Gardner Minshew the first?
Yeah, have you seen Gardner Minshew? You know, do you know what 4 years in Pullman does to you?
And you just start adding people.
Yeah, you know.
Mike Leach is a big Minshew fan.
Oh, I don't know how you wouldn't be. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A just on 44th Street and Indian School in Arcadia. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, tickets, and other prizes. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Michael Vick on Kyler Murray, 20 minutes away. Up next, Derek Hall. Love the turf or we can't? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Madam Speaker, the President.
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President.
He's the President and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the Chief.
Derek Hall.
The President.
On Now with Doug and Wolf.
The president and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. How about you guys?
We're hanging in there. There's no doubt about it, right? Nine games to go, of course. As you know, right now, your level of disappointment day right now.
Oh, I have absolutely no disappointment. I mean, I think if there was disappointment, it was, as we talked about, the way we unfortunately, the results we had, the way we played in New York, you know, we're right before that, we were about five outs away from being a half a game out. So I just think the way the other teams have rebounded, and, you know, look at Milwaukee, it looked like they were going to hit the skids a little bit, but they went just the other way. They rebounded from a little losing streak, and now here they are right there in the fight. So, you know, no real disappointment, though. I think this is a great year for young guys to cut their teeth and to be in a race and see what it's like. And I think a lot of them have responded. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, like Ginkle, who have performed so well when they, you know, since they've been up and have shown really no fear. Alex Young, another one. I think this is great for these guys to go through.
Talking to Derek Hall, team president and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Derek, when you heard Ketel Marte say he thinks that the back issue has been caused by running on the turf, what was your immediate thought?
Well, we're certainly going to look into that. We haven't heard that. Medical staff hasn't heard it. We've had no complaints. And then I think what he did afterwards, Doug, I think he tried to clear it up and say more so just by playing, you know, the outfield. I mean, that's not a position that he's been playing, and he's played it for most of the year, so it's something that's very new to him. I think it's been just the opposite. I mean, this surface, that we put in, the synthetic grass has been phenomenal. And we have teams that come in here like Florida who just left with rave reviews and have asked a lot about it. So I know that other teams are going to it. And we were somewhat of a test for Shaw, and I think they've been very happy. We've been very happy. And more schools, more and more pro teams are going to be going to it because it is just the opposite. It's a lot softer. It's a lot safer. It's cut back on the injuries. And when you see visiting teams come here and say, wow, this is so much better than what you had before, which was very dangerous and very hard before, I think it's just the opposite. These are guys that aren't used to playing out there.
Because, you know, it has nothing to do with, like, the Montreal days. You know, that was real life.
Totally.
Like thin carpet on concrete. I totally believe everything Andre Dawson used to say about his back. I'm more worried that I know how much time you put into this before you guys made the decision to leave the grass surface.
Yep.
But I am worried about free agency because, you know, as soon as one player says this, it becomes law whether it is or not. How do you fight that?
No, I think it's the other way, Doug. Most of the guys have played on it. They've been here as visitors. So So I think if they're free agents, they're either going to ask around and hear the positive results of it, or okay. And good feedback, or they're going to say, I played out there and it's so much better than what they had before. I think it's actually going to work to our advantage. This is such a better surface than what we had with dead grass and the skids and the injuries. And I think after year one, granted, we're still testing. We're still seeing how it goes. But I think after year one, the results have been really, really good.
Derek, what can you tell us about Mike Hazen and the extension, and why did you extend Mike Hazen?
Well, for me, it was a no-brainer, and it was something, Wolf, that he and I were working on before, and of course, I talked to Ken for weeks about this. I mean, we both had the same idea to go ahead and extend him, even though he was still under contract for a couple of years, and for us to start those conversations well before what happened in Boston, of course, that accelerated things, in my opinion, and we needed to certainly bring it to closure, and we did, and it says a lot. It says a lot about the confidence that we have in him and the staff that he's built, but I think it also says a lot about him wanting to be here, and a lot of people do. This is it's a great place to work. The future is very bright. I give them a lot of credit for that reason. But I think both ways, it shows that it's a very good partnership, very good team, and we want to keep it together as long as we can.
Derek, stay on that if you don't mind, because sure. That's a piece I didn't know when you said that you guys were working on this well before yep. the Dombrowski firing.
Yeah, we were. So Mike and I had talked about this probably at least a couple of weeks before that move by the Red Sox. And again, we weren't rushing through it because we had plenty of time. And after that, I thought we better turn up the heat a little bit, and Mike knew why. And I said, let's bring it to a close, and we were able to. But very, I'd say very productive and amicable, as you can imagine, conversations, and us just wanting to make sure that he felt like he was being fairly compensated and that he fit right in with his peers where he should be. Obviously, I believe he is at the top of his game. He's one of the best in the game. We're lucky to have him. That's why we identified him early on. But I also give all of his lieutenants, just strong praise, too. I mean, you guys are fortunate enough to be able to get to know and talk to Amiel Sade, some weeks, and Jared Porter some weeks. These guys, they have different skill sets, but they all complement each other so well. They challenge one another, and then all the way down, we've talked about our farm system, how strong it is, winning three championships, credit to Mike Bell. The players, the difference in this year, guys, when we win three championships, and we've won two and three, in past years, but you're signing free agents and bringing them in and filling rosters. That wasn't the case this year. This year it was our guys, that we either acquired through trade or through the draft, and when you win championships with your own guys and they're part of the future, that's where Derek Ladd and our entire scouting staff deserve a lot of credit. They report, of course, to Amiel, our pro scouting staff that reports to Jared Porter, and of course they all go up through Mike and then us. But I couldn't be happier, and we need to keep those guys here as long as we can too, and let them know what a great job they're doing.
Derek, just curious, how long is the extension of Mike?
Yeah, it was a 5-year deal before, and very similar to that, Wolf. So we're excited, and as he continues to do the job that we think he's going to do, it's something that we'll do again in the future. I want to keep him here. I want his family to be rooted here. They feel like it's home now after 3 years. Hard to believe he's been here 3 years, but I always want to make sure that they want to be Arizona Diamondbacks. He's a great fit here. His family's going to grow up here, and let's make this long term. The most important thing we can do is provide some consistency and continuity here. I think in baseball, we all have a tendency, not just baseball, but really all sports, we all have a tendency to just make changes at the drop of a hat when things aren't going well. And you have to remember, a lot of times you need patience. There are going to be some bad years too. We've been fortunate enough to have 3 good years. We're going to have some stinkers too. We know that. But overall, when you have a manager with a style and the reputation and the relationships that we have now with Torrey, and when you have a general manager like Mike, and the way they work well together, the way he works with us well, it's such a good fit. We want to keep that continuity.
Now, why did you say we have to? It's similar to that. What does that even mean?
It's similar in length, Doug. We don't comment directly on
so that you, that would either mean I think the now listen I don't have his contract in front
you
me.
Could
I,
say it's 3, 4 listen, five, I six, took seven,
it,
right?
I took it as 5 years. I'm just telling
so,
you
but,
right
but
now.
That's
the thing.
That's the whole
that's
thing.
What
Wolf,
I did.
You can take it however you want. Right.
The old contract ended in 2021, so it's either 5 years from there or 5 years from now, right?
Let me answer it. Here, I'll answer it this way. I don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
That's fantastic. That was fantastic. That is good. That was very good by you. You know, it's you brought up the championships, and I don't think a lot of people know about it. What does that mean? I mean, what does it really mean to evaluation? Because on the one hand, does it really matter that you're winning there because we want to win here? Or does it breed winners when you win there?
A terrific question, and we've had that debate for years. You know, there was a group in the minors that was winning together, and we were so excited about bringing all those guys up. And for whatever reason, we got off the track, you know, a few years back, and we moved a lot of those players. And I think it's very important that these guys not only win, but that they win together and they continue to move up. And when you win at single A level, and Hillsborough continues to have, you know, they have success, it seems like, year after year. And then when you win at double A as well, you know, it's phenomenal. And Visalia won at the, you know, single A level, and we did so well in the DSL as well. But it's great when they win together, but also when they're developing and moving up together. And by the time they get up here, they know what it's like to win. They know the Diamondback way, and they know each other. And they're very good teammates. And we had that. And, you know, for whatever reason, we got away from that. We have to stick to that again. And if you look at the teams in the past where, you know, of organizations that had success for a long time, sustainable, you look at the Braves, the Dodgers for years. They had those strong farm systems, and those guys came up double A, triple A, eventually up to the big league level together, but they also won. They learned what it was like to win, and they learned how to win together and pick each other up.
Derek, it says so much about the front office and the organization and what a great job you guys have done with the hires, but you mentioned it. Amiel Sade, of course, and Jared Porter. Are you worried about these guys, losing these guys at some point?
Sure. I mean, you know, selfishly, I'd love to keep these guys forever, but I'm convinced, Wolf, they're both going to be general managers, very successful general managers in this game, and they should be because they're really smart minds and creative, and they deserve it. And they deserve a ton of accolades. You're exactly right. These three, it's not just one person. It's these three are constantly challenging one another. And again, their skill sets are so unique, but they're so smart. And when they combine the analytics with their own experience, they've been in this game for years with different organizations. They've won championships, you know, in different organizations. And we're very lucky to have them. Would I love to keep them? Absolutely. Do I know at some point they're going to move on? Absolutely. But, yeah, well, if I do worry about that, those are things that keep me up at night. But then again, they would have an opportunity to move on and become a general manager themselves, and that's all you want. You want them to, you know, to continue to grow and be in a position that they aspire to one day. And then, you know, it's a point of pride. It's like we talked about before. It's all those coaches in the coaches' tree, be it Parcells or Belichick or, you know, Lasorda. I mean, that sort of thing happens, and it's a point of pride for us.
Thank you, Derek. Good to talk to you. Talk to you next Thursday.
Likewise. You got it.
Thanks, Derek Steve. Hall, team president, CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti, the place to go for your next new or pre-owned car. Michael on Murray. Michael Vick. What does he think that Kyler Murray brings to the table? Is this young man a winner? We'll talk to Michael Vick, the NFL QB and FS1 NFL analyst, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.